tell you, it's not too hard in life to have peace in the midst of a peaceful, calm day. Would you agree with that? It's not too hard to have peace when it's a sunny day, right? You may be here today and you're just thinking, oh, what a beautiful morning, right? You're just feeling it. It's good. And it's not too hard to have peace on those kind of days. Now, it's a little more difficult, but not that difficult, to have peace in the midst of rain. I mean, in the midst of rain. The older I get, I kind of like rainy days anymore. I really do. It's kind of cool. You know, it's like, hey, nice, cool. But it's not, it may be a little bit more difficult to have peace in the midst of rain, that is. Little things may be going wrong. But you can have peace. You may say something like, rain, rain, go away. Please come back another day because I got something planned. But you're okay. You have some peace in there. But you know what? Sometimes it's really, really tough to have peace in the midst of a storm. Sometimes it's really tough to have peace in the midst of a storm. A big thing, maybe plural, big things are going wrong in your life. And you say, you know what? It's kind of hard for me to have peace in my life. You say, preacher, what's that peace you're talking about? You know, spiritual peace is talking about a calmness on the inside. A calmness on the inside. And you may find it so hard to have peace certain times of your life as a Christian, you may almost want to pipe up and sing with the Hee-Haw Gang. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. You may feel that way. But guess what? Got some good news. We've been talking about miracles that teach. Miracles that teach. Specifically looking at miracles of Jesus during his earthly ministry. Let me tell you. Every miracle has a lesson for us in Scripture. So by saying miracles that teach, I'm not saying, well, some do and some don't. They all do. But I wanted to look and felt God led me in a sermon series. This is part 4, miracles that teach, to look specifically. Because there's a reason why God put these miracles in Scripture. According to most accounts, some 35 miracles that Jesus performed while on this earth. And we're going to look at one today in particular. The title of this part of the series, We Can Have Peace in the Midst of a Storm. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, I don't know where you are today. Again, you could have a sunny day in your heart and in your life, and it's not too difficult. You could be in the midst of a little bit of rain. Or you could be, right, man, say, right now, preacher, you nailed it. I'm in the midst of a storm. It doesn't matter where you are, this message is for you. So listen close to this miracle. I'd probably say this is one of my favorite miracles recorded in Scripture. I guess I'm on a roll, guys, because in Sunday school I did one of my favorite Old Testament stories. Today we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. That's only 6 verses. And you say, preacher, you're going to have a short message today, aren't you? Well, not necessarily. The length of verses do not dictate the length of sermon. But here, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture and talk about it and relate it a little bit. Then we're going to look at we can have peace in the midst of a storm. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Excuse me. It says, in the same day when the even was come. Now you say, same day. What in the world's that talking about? Well, if you look back, if you have your Bibles open, chapter 4, Jesus is teaching his disciples in a great crowd, even to the point that he has to get into a ship for them to see him. And he's teaching them there at the seashore, that is, easy for me to say, seashore. And as he teaches them, he teaches them on the parable of the sower. He talks about, shares with them parables of the kingdom of God. That same day, it says when even was come. Now, there's some different ideas about exactly when it's talking about even. Something I read said it might even have been dark. But let's just say evening, and that'll get the point across, okay? Getting kind of late. Jesus had been teaching all day. He'd been teaching from this ship. Notice what it says. He saith unto them, words in red, Jesus talking to his disciples in particular, the 12, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us pass over unto the other side. Now, the other side of what? The other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee, from what I understand, at its widest points, 13 miles long and 8 miles at its widest point. And they were going from the west side of the Sea of Galilee to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And he tells his disciples, okay, get in, we're going to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, I did a little bit of research here about ships at that point. And it appears to me that the ships, from what I can gather, were probably 20 to 30 foot long and 7 foot wide. And those were your basic fishing ships. Now, from what I understand, most of them were paddled by oars and not by sails, but some disagree and say, well, no, some had sails. But does that put in your mind? Because I've always kind of wondered how big those ships really were. 20 to 30 foot long, 7 foot wide. He says in verse 36, the Bible does, it says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. He said, what exactly does that mean? Now, he's been teaching in the ship, right? So he's still in the ship. So they all get in the ship, the disciples, and they head to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It says, and there were also with him other little ships, plural. So, rocket science here, you ready? That means there's at least 3 ships gone over the Sea of Galilee. Now, from all that we understand and from the way I've been taught, all the apostles were in one ship with Jesus, okay? Verse 37. Y'all still with me? You see me fell asleep there somewhere. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Wow. You know, I understand something about the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee was prone to storms and prone to sudden storms. Now, from what I understand, the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. 700 feet below sea level. But then you got mountains. You got mountains that rise up on one side in particular, 2,700 feet high. And there's cliffs along the Sea of Galilee, from what I understand. I've not been there. But you can imagine the cold air around these mountains, right? And in the valleys. And then you got the warm air below sea level. So you get hot air and cool air coming together, you get storms, don't you? And this was a great storm. Now you got to keep in mind as you're reading this story that at least 4 of those apostles were experienced fishermen. And they fished on the Sea of Galilee. So they had encountered storms before, but this one was a bad one, okay? It says, there arose a great storm of wind, verse 37, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Can you imagine? Wow. I mean, they couldn't keep the water bailed out enough or quick enough. And these ships were about full, verse 38. It says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Jesus. From what I understand, that's called the stern, right? The hinder part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. Some would say that pillow was probably a fisherman's leather type of pillow that he would sit on to row the ship. But Jesus was using this opportunity. Now, I got a really, really tough question for you. Why do you think Jesus was asleep on a pillow? I just heard a lot of people words, but I didn't hear. I heard this beautiful lady up here on the third row. She said, because he was tired. Tired. Now you say, but this is Jesus, the Son of God. Remember, I say quite often, he was 100% God and 100% human, right? So he was tired. He'd been teaching all day. And he put his head on this pillow, fell asleep, hinder part of the ship. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I think actually there was a little bit more emotion in that. You know, we read these stories, it's like, okay, well, Master, carest not thou. I really think it was like, you know, high, elevated, and these manly men, you know, these macho guys, Master, carest not that we perish? We're about ready to die here. I think it was something like that. And he arose, that's Jesus, and rebuked the wind. There's something about it when I was reading this, that idea of rebuking the wind is kind of the same word that's used where Jesus was casting out demons or had control over demons. So some would say that this storm may have been caused by the devil and his demons. And boy, that'd been a pretty convenient storm, wouldn't it? Let's wipe out Jesus in their way of thinking. Let's wipe out the apostles by their way of thinking. And the devil causes some storms in our life too, doesn't he? That's a possibility. But it says, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Now in English, that's three words. In Greek, that's two words. He speaks two words. And it says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I would have loved to have seen that calm Sea of Galilee, wouldn't you? Now, even when a storm on its own ends, you know, it takes a while for the waves to stop, right? And the commotion of the water. But when Jesus says, peace be still, and I used to ski on Summersville Lake, and boy, there was a lot of turbulence in the water. It wasn't near as fun, but when you got on those days that the lake was all smooth and calm, boy, it was a lot of fun. But he said, peace be still. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. Verse 30, or 40, excuse me. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? How is it that ye have, no faith? Wow. Now you got to keep in mind, don't be too hard on the apostles. They're a work in progress. And I look around and I see works in progress. And you're looking up here, guess what? You see a work in progress. Verse 41, and they feared, that's the apostles, feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wow. They were kind of like bowled over, if you will. They were amazed at what they had just seen. You say, how can we apply this scripture to our life? Now, there's lots of things that could be said. And there's lots of things in this miracle that teach us. We're going to talk about a little bit. In particular, we can have peace in the midst of a storm. Point number one today in the message, qualities of a storm in life. Qualities of a storm in life. Now, do y'all understand what I mean when I say a storm in life? I'm not talking about when you get in your car and there comes a big thunder boom and, you know, the lightning and you're driving. I'm not talking about that kind of storm. I'm talking about a storm. Maybe the name of the storm is cancer. Maybe the name of the storm is financial problems. Maybe the name of the storm is relationship problems. I mean, you can just fill in the blank, okay? But you know what? A lot of those storms hit us. But some qualities of the storms that hit us, first of all, they can blindside us. Do you realize that? The storms in life can blindside us. I don't want to scare you. I'm not a drama king. But you may hear even before the day is over, a storm may come into your life. So storms can blindside us. They blindsided the apostles. Didn't blindside Jesus. Jesus knew all about it. But the apostles, they're like, hey, we're just going to go to the other side. No problem. No big deal. And then, boom. Qualities of a storm in life. Point number one. Under that, they can blindside us. Number two, under that, they can be pretty ferocious. You know, it says of this storm in verse 37, a great storm of wind. Can anybody out there attest to the fact that sometimes storms can be very ferocious in our life? Third thing about a storm in life, they can overwhelm us. We can feel overwhelmed. You know, these fishermen, these apostles, four of them were fishermen. You know, imagine being overwhelmed by this storm. I can imagine if there was a bucket in the boat, they were just having at it. They were probably knowing Peter had a plan. Peter said, come on, you can do faster. Come on. You know, come on, John, you can do it. You know, can you imagine Peter being kind of the coach, trying to get the water out? But they were becoming overwhelmed. It says the ships were almost full. I don't know, have you ever gone through a storm to the point that you think you're going under? You think it's going to drag you down and sink your ship. The fourth quality of a storm in life, they can make us very afraid. Jesus' question in verse 40, why are ye so fearful? The fifth quality of a storm in life from this miracle, the storms that we face can test our faith. The storms in life can test our faith. You know, the storms that we face show us really who we are. The storms in life actually tell us where we are in our walk with God. Really. It says in verse 40, right after he says, why are you so fearful? He says, how is it that you have no faith? Now, can I tell you that the apostles at best, probably got a D grade on their level of faith? You and I are going to face storms. And let me tell you, it really shows us where we are in our walk with God. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Jesus had been teaching basically all day, it sounds like, right? Teaching. And now the apostles get the opportunity to put that teaching into practice. They didn't do real well, okay? They didn't exactly excel at this test. But you know what? We can relate to that, I believe. We come to church and we're taught and we're preached to, right? And we take that. We read our own Bible in our quiet time and we take that. And when it comes down to the storms, it's like, guess what? I have the opportunity to put what I've learned into practice. So really, sometimes maybe we look at storms from the wrong perspective. We ought to be looking at this as an opportunity. I remember a fellow that I pastored down in Williamstown. He was known quite often to say, you know, God has given us an opportunity. You know, what he meant was there's a storm, something's wrong, but let's call it an opportunity. And really, that's the way we should look at it. Have you ever thought about what if you trained to be an electrician for 5 years, but you never got an opportunity to show that you knew what you could do as an electrician? You'd probably be saying, I just don't know about this. Why did I go through the training? You know, God allows us to go through storms to let us pass the test, to let us show our faith and trust and show that we've been listening to the Word. Opportunity, don't you think? Qualities of a storm in life. They can blindside us. They can be pretty ferocious. They can overwhelm us. They can make us very afraid. They can test our faith. And lastly, they can grow our faith. They can grow our faith. Can I tell you, we should not be happy with where we are in our walk with God. Really. We should always be seeking ways to grow in the Lord. And one of the best ways we can grow in the Lord is when we face a storm, trust the Lord. And notice, you say, where does it say that in this miracle? Well, look at verse 41. It says, they feared exceedingly. Remember, they were a work in progress. And said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. You see, their faith was growing. Their trust was growing. And the same thing can happen in our life when we face storms. Absolutely, the wrong thing to do is throw up our hands in disgust and quit. But we can allow the storm to grow our life. Qualities of a storm in life. They can blindside us. They can be pretty ferocious. They can overwhelm us. They can make us very afraid. They can test our faith, show us who we really are. And they can grow our faith. Point number two. And this too will probably amaze you. I only got 2 points today. Point number two. Reasons that I can have peace even in the midst of a storm in life. Reasons that I can have peace even in the midst of a storm in life. Now remember, peace is defined as what? A calmness in your soul. Now that doesn't always mean when I'm going through a storm that I feel a whole lot like smiling on the outside. Now that has more to really, I think, to do with joy. We are supposed to have joy in the Lord that's not affected by what's out here. So we should eventually be able to muster a smile. But peace is a calmness on the inside. And you say, well, how can I do that? Why would I even want to do that? Reasons that I can have peace even in the midst of the storm. Point number one under that. We can have peace because we can rely on the promises of the Lord. Did you hear that? Where's my amen-ers at? Okay, Jason and Samuel and Amy, you're the three amen-ers for the rest of the message, okay? Are you ready? Let's practice that on the count of three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Oh, golly. Come on. You call yourself Bible college students. I'm just kidding you. But really, you say, well, how can I have peace even in the midst of storm? Because we can trust what the Lord says. Remember what he told them? Let's get in the ship and go to the other side. You know, the Lord never told me to get in the ship to go to the other side, but his Bible is full of promises. So because of the promises in his book, I can have peace in my heart and in my life, even in the biggest storm that ever hit. You said, what kind of promises, preacher? Well, I just jotted down just a handful. Philippians 4:13, what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Promise! I can get through this storm that God has allowed into my life. Because I can do all things through his strength. Wow! I can face a storm with peace because of his promises. What about Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because of his promises like that. If I'm in the midst of a storm, I'm thinking, wow, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this storm or not, but guess what? God's going to bring something good out of it. You know, because of those promises, I can make it through that storm with peace in my heart, a calmness in my soul. What about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18? I referenced some of these verses just the other day here in church, but it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds," talking about the rapture, "to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." It says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." I like the part, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." You know, when I'm facing a storm as a child of God, someone who knows Jesus, I ought to be able to say, "You know what? Because of the promises of God, I'm all right. So what if it kills me? So shall I ever be with the Lord." I mean, that ought to perk us up, pep us up, put a spring in our step, even if the thunder is rumbling and the lightning is flashing in our life. You see, you and I can have peace even in the midst of a storm, because we can have peace because we can rely on the promises of God. Secondly, we can have peace because of the Lord's presence. Because of the Lord's presence. Now, the Lord Jesus was asleep on a pillow. He was in the ship with these apostles. You say, "Preacher, I think you've really lost it. I'm not in a ship with Jesus." Well, you may not be in the ship with Jesus, but Jesus is in the ship with you. You know, in the Bible, after the Great Commission, Jesus says to his apostles, "And lo, I am with you." How much?
Always.
Always. And God lives inside of you if you're a child of God. When you get saved, you say, "Preacher, that's kind of ooh." No, it's not. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. So if you're facing a storm, and it can be a big one in your life, you can say, "You know what? Jesus is in my ship. Jesus is right there with me." Notice, it says in John chapter 14, verse 27, you know, in the upper room discourse, just before Jesus leaves this world, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can have peace because of the Lord's presence. Jesus is in my ship. John 16:33, a little bit further along in that message in the upper room. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have," what? "Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Reasons I can have peace even in the midst of a storm in life. First of all, we can have peace because we can rely on the promises of the Lord. Second, we can have peace because of the Lord's presence. Jesus is in my ship. And lastly, we can have peace because of the Lord's power. Because of the Lord's power. You know what? As I said, he speaks two words in Greek, three words translated in English. And it says, "And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." And the disciples recognized in verse 41, they said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Wow. You know, who can whip God? Who can whip your Lord if you know Jesus as your Savior? Nobody. Nobody. So we can have peace because of the Lord's power. You know, the Lord is orchestrating all things in my life and in your life to bring you and me to maturity. You know, in verse 40, he asks, "Why are you so afraid? How is it you have no faith?" We need to trust the Lord in his power and say, "Lord, you got this." me say in particular, the Lord does not cause bad things, but he allows them for a good purpose. For a good purpose. You know, you might put it this way, under this point, we can have peace because of the Lord's power. On the count of three, shout out your favorite superhero, okay? On the count of three, if you have one, your favorite superhero, and please, for the sake of modesty, don't say Pastor Steve, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Okay. All of those superheroes, just think of Jesus as a combination of all the superheroes you've ever heard about. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, all those, and even way beyond that. Way, way, way beyond that. There is nothing that can compare to the superpower of the Lord. And because of that, guess what? You and I should be able to have peace even in the midst of a storm. Miracles that teach we can have peace in the midst of a storm. First of all, we looked at qualities of a storm in life. They can blindside us. They can be pretty ferocious. They can overwhelm us. They can make us very afraid. They can test our faith, and they can grow our faith. Point number two, reasons that I can have peace even in the midst of a storm. We can have peace because we can rely on the promises of the Lord. We can have peace because of the Lord's presence. If you know Jesus, Jesus is in your ship. And last reason that we can have peace even in the midst of a storm in life, we can have peace because of the Lord's power. Because of the Lord's power. No storm in your life is more powerful than the Lord himself. So, first of all, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you're listening to our live stream, can I encourage you to make the biggest and best decision you can ever make in your life? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, you're not going to have that peace that we've talked about, that inner calm, until you trust Jesus as your Savior. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross to pay for your sins and my sins, and then resurrected back to life and conquered death. And if you want to trust him as Savior, the doors are flung wide open and he says, come. Come. So I'd encourage you, if you're here today and you're not saved, you've never trusted Jesus, or even if there's any doubt, I'll be down front somewhere. You come down and say, preacher, I want to know that I'm saved. Guess what? If you trust Jesus, you can have that peace that we've talked about all the time. But mainly the message has been to Christians today, people that know Jesus. Again, whether you're singing, oh, what a beautiful morning, or if you're in gloom and despair and agony on me, regardless of where you are, can I remind you that you can have peace because of Jesus even in the midst of the storm? We just got to remember the Lord's promises, the Lord's presence, and the Lord's power. So maybe today as a Christian, you're in a storm. Maybe you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, you know I'm in a storm. Help me to remember your promises, your presence, and your power. However God leads you today, just listen to the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this wonderful miracle in Scripture, and Lord, how it can teach us that we can be calm in the midst of a storm. Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost, anyone listening to our live stream, Lord, I pray that they may just come and call out to you and ask for your forgiveness and tell you in prayer they believe Jesus really was your son that died on the cross for them. And I pray that they'll confess Jesus as their Savior today. If they're with us, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to step out and come down and talk to me about it. And Lord, for the Christians that are here today, Lord, help us to always remember, Lord, we can go through the storm because of our Lord. Speak to hearts, draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.